Ever? No.
Never again. Welcome back to Box Office Bylines, a podcast about movies about journalism. We've got 50 Shades of Grey and 10 Days to Learn How to Lose a Guy. I am Jacob Boone in Yellowknife, Northwest Territories, joined, as ever, as always, by...
Tara Thorne in Halifax, Nova Scotia, along with Gertie and Winston, the cats, who I'm trying to keep quiet. It's not going well.
Yeah. And I have crows, ravens outside my window, and foxes. And no, she left somewhere. I don't know where she is. No polar bears, though. People think there you go. Are. There aren't.
And Jacob, you're in the middle of a snowstorm up there, which is like yes. a big stereotype that is,
we're not recording these in advance, but it is almost Victoria Day and it's been snowing for two straight days.
Yeah.
Not the most, winter is long. It's severe for a portion of time. January and bits of February are not great. You kind of just stay inside as much as you can. And then mid-February, late February, it starts, the sun's back. It goes up to negative 20, which is walking around weather.
Right.
And then around like late March, you're really just kind of sick of it. Sick of the snow, which you've seen since October. And you could just go for some sun and bare pavement or open water, depending on who you are. I'm a city guy. Yeah, and we had just had some nice spring weather, and now it's all back again. Coming around again as...
Well...
heartbreak. Heartburn.
I'm so sorry.
It's fine. We should go on to the actual movie we're talking about this week. This isn't weather
Let's
update.
Let's do it.
I'm trying to think of a fun, jokey segue into... I don't have anything. Some might say that a romance between Seth Rogen and Charlize Theron is a long shot.
I wouldn't say that because Charlize Theron has literally dated Sean Penn. So...
But in this fictional universe... Long Shot 2019, directed by Jonathan Levine, written by Dan Sterling and Liz Hanna. Starring
of the Post.
Rogen and... Of the Post. There goes one bit of trivia. So for anyone who hasn't seen it, recent film, Theron plays Charlotte Field, current U.S. Secretary of State, preparing for a run for the presidency. Logan plays Fred Flarsky.
Rogan.
Yeah.
You said Logan.
Oh, sorry. I was still thinking
Gilmore Logan
Girls
Lerman. Yeah.
From last week. Fred Flarsky, kind of like Fred Friendly, George Clooney's
True.
Character.
They have the same sort of set of principles.
They are both idealistic, muckraking journalists. Rogan works for an alternative newspaper, the Brooklyn Advocate. But the two know each other from childhood. And after he gets fired or laid off or quits, kind of all three, she hires him to be her speechwriter. And they find a mutual attraction blooming even while their ideals clash in the cutthroat world of modern U.S. politics.
Mm-hmm.
Tara, I didn't see this movie until we did it. You watched it and loved it when it came out.
Oh, yeah. I am like ahead of the game in terms of Long Shot Hive. Like, I'm queen bee of this shit. It was one of my favorite movies of 2019. I think it's so slept on. Clearly, you can always tell when something comes out on Netflix or Crave or whatever, because then all of a sudden everyone's talking about it. And I mm-hmm. feel like that happened with this, because I posted when I did my rewatch. So this would be the third time I saw it. I just posted the amazing scene of them slow dancing to It Must Have Been Love by Roxette, which I'll talk about later. And a bunch of people DM'd me to say, this was so much better than I thought it would be. This was so much better than I thought it would be. I love this more than I expected to. And I think it's because when you just look at it on its face, it does seem like, oh, mismatch comedy. Haven't we seen this with Knocked Up? But yeah. It's really smart and it's really funny. And Charlize, who I would call a capital S, capital A, serious actor, not really known for being fun, or warm even, is really funny in this.
Yeah.
Like, I really feel like it's definitely an odd coupling. Like take away your most basic, like, tackiest assessment of them as a couple, And just them as actors, as performers, that's not two people I have put together. And they're awesome together.
Yeah, they have considerable chemistry.
Mm-hmm,
and it did. Mm-hmm. It was presented in the trailer as a much goofier film than it is, and a much more like knocked up schlub dates bombshell in direct mm-hmm. reference to Bombshell.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not. And I think I mentioned to you, like, it opened against Endgame, Avengers Endgame, or the week after, so that didn't help its mm-hmm. box office. But yeah, kind of slept on. It is a fun, nice movie. I don't know if I liked it as much as you.
Okay.
I think there are some issues, but mm-hmm. Why don't we get it out of the way right on the bat? Is Seth Rogen ugly?
Oh, I don't think so.
I don't think so either, and yet they keep putting him in movies where it's supposed to be. Like, they compare him to, like, Danny DeVito.
Okay, but Jennifer the Lawrence. Funniest part, so this part, when I had forgotten this happened. So Jude Diane Raphael's in it, and she's like...
who's incredible.
She's wonderful, and she's like Meg, or she, her name is Maggie. She's Charlotte's, whatever, assistant?
Main Press secretary, person. Something.
Head of, what's it called? Something staff. Head of staff,
Chief
whatever.
Of staff?
Chief of staff, exactly. I'm like, I've seen Veep. I know these parts. Chief of staff. And she's like, okay, we've done some public polling, and here's what the public has not liked these matches. So it was like basically two disparate people, like Jennifer Lawrence or whoever. But then it's Jennifer Lawrence and a potato in a teal windbreaker, and it's the jacket that we keep seeing him wear. It was so funny.
Feels unfair to Seth.
I know, but he signed up for it and he produced it, as did Charlize. And you know, Jonathan Levine, I'm a big fan of Jonathan Levine, who made a terrific Christmas film that I feel needs to be in the Christmas pantheon officially. It's called The Night Before. And he also made a third film with Seth Rogen called 50-50. And Joseph Gordon-Levitt was in both of those films too.
50-50 is really good.
Yeah, I am a fan of this director. And like, people clearly have fun in his sets, and he clearly lets them, you know, riff and mm-hmm. stuff.
It is still very much a Seth Rogen movie. There's a lot of pop culture references. They watch Marvel movies in this.
Yeah, literally. They do drugs, and then he puts her in an Eminem t-shirt.
Yeah. He, you know, gets to stunt cast a musical group that he wants to hang out with.
Yeah.
But, okay, so watching this, there's a lot of conflict early on, between idealism and identity.
Mm-hmm.
Because he's at the Brooklyn Advocate. He's we're introduced to him in the first scene. He's undercover at a Nazi hangout meeting.
Mm-hmm.
Because he's got some brilliant scoop, and then he ends up jumping when they discover he's Jewish. He jumps out of like a third story window and lands.
Also,
in the car.
One of the funniest things, when he hits the car,
very funny.
It was
no
like
way
so
he would have
fake.
Survived.
They were so fake when it was
like he gets up and walks away, but he would have been dead. And then when he goes to the office, very nice Brooklyn, New York offices, he finds out this big sort of Rupert Murdoch-esque guy played by Andy Serkis and his media conglomerate has bought their paper, and there's going to be layoffs, even though his job, he's safe, but he quits on principle, and then his editor's like, well, let me fire you so you get severance, but he still quits, because he doesn't want anything to do with that garbage, gross, Fox News-esque media conglomerate. And then, by chance, his friend takes him out on, like, a let's make you feel better day, and they end up at the same gala as Charlize Theron's character. And that's where they reconnect. And so then, because she's cold and impersonal and doesn't do well with comedy and waves funny, they need to bump up her speeches. So she suggests him. And there's a wonderful scene where, not to get all journalism wonky about this, but there's a wonderful scene where they bring him in. They like send a car to wherever he is, which is just some convenience store. Bring him in. Give them this big pitch about how they're going to do remarkable things, going to change the world, but they need a speechwriter. And they're like, great. And he's like, cool. So when do you need to know by? And they're all like shocked that he doesn't immediately just want this job.
Yeah.
Which did feel fun because to him, this is, you know, that phrase going to the dark side. He's going over into PR speechwriting.
Yeah, he's selling out.
That's a big deal.
Yeah.
For this guy who doesn't sell out.
Yeah.
We can talk more about that, but then I maybe as a journalist watching this is my problem, but that kind of fades away halfway through and becomes just more about their romance.
Well, but that's because he's in love with her.
I know, but don't you think that...
But no, because she basically goes to him, they're dating, mm-hmm. and she's like, we need to fix you up, we need to change your image. And then she knows as she's saying it that he's not going to be into it. She knows she's going there to like end the relationship. And then he says, no, I can't do that. And she's like, yeah, I know. And then she goes. Like, he did hold on to it throughout. And he gave her shit because she kept... Basically, he gives her shit whenever the president, who is a very funny sort of Trump parable played by Bob Odenkirk.
Yes.
Whenever the president's like, don't do this or do this, she always does the opposite. But it's because of Fred's influence. Like, I think she gets to become president because she believed in what she believed in.
But
like,
she
told her to.
Makes the choices to go against the president and go forward with her whatever environmental legislation.
Trees and bees. Yeah.
For love, not for, like, ideals. Mm-hmm. Like, she, because there's this weird blackmail plot where they hack into Rogan's laptop, the president, and steals videos of him masturbating. And mm-hmm. that's going to end both of their lives. I could have done without that. I would have been fine with the two of them falling in love, even though they disagree about politics. I think that would have been a more interesting, mature film. But
yeah, but I think that's sort of the problem. And this is where, like, the marketing campaign and the fact that this didn't do very well, I think, is sort of revealing itself, where it's like, that is what you get with Seth Rogen. It isn't Will Ferrell doing Stranger Than Fiction. It's mm-hmm. like Seth Rogen doing a Seth Rogen thing. So, he's going to come on his own face. Which, like, did we need to actually see it? I would argue no.
Uh-huh.
I'd argue no. But it was still fun. I don't know. I don't know. I just have a lot of space in my heart for this movie. I thought, it was funny. And mm-hmm. to the romance part. Mm-hmm. So, I remember when I saw this movie in the theater, which is a thing that happened. The slow dance to It Must Have Been Love, which happens sort of, they're at a fancy party and they go into the kitchen and they just blast it off a phone and they dance together. I remember thinking, this is really long. And then I timed it when I watched it this time because I could rewind it. And it was like, it was about 2 minutes even. And that is a lot of movie real estate to give to a comedy. Like, to have this romantic moment using a song that's very well known from another movie. They even, you see the Pretty Woman poster on his phone.
Yep. They reference the version, Pretty Woman.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Him getting dressed up, yeah.
And I just think that, to me, is just, like, another reason this movie is not typical, is atypical, if you will. Just the fact that it was willing to sort of go all in on the romance and make it be, like, a serious thing. Because when we, like, this never comes up again, but his memory of them is, like, he kisses her and he gets a boner and her boyfriend comes in and laughs at it. She was never shitty about it. And mm-hmm. she never brings it up in the rest mm-hmm. of the movie. So we're supposed to sort of think, oh, he's not a real option for her. But, like, she likes him.
She likes him. Yeah. And she charms him. And I totally buy the romance.
Yeah.
And why it would be politically unsavory. It spins off into weird slapstick stuff that I don't
but
think
yeah
really
but that but that's
to.
Sort of yeah my I guess I kind of got away from my point, which is that casting Seth Rogen in a part like this, that's kind of what comes with it.
Yeah, but even like 50-50 doesn't do that. I mean,
no,
he doesn't,
you're right.
I mean, it is very much what he plays to. I just wish it hadn't, maybe,
right.
If somebody had reined him in a little bit on this one. I did really like how they brought up, and Charlize, her character, brought up that, like, his angry jokes and his idealism and all that, when she says it, is going to be viewed as mm-hmm. hysterics. Like, it's very different for a woman in politics than the asshole douche male journalist.
Yeah.
They don't get to be the same kind of angry.
Yeah. And when they're breaking up and he says, oh, what, because you're a woman? And she's like, yeah, motherfucker. And he's like, yeah, you're right.
Yeah.
Immediately. It's like, oh, no. Yeah. Okay.
That's great. I just wish there had been more of that. More angry matches about angry fights about real stuff, and less come on face.
scenes. Yeah, I mean, you never need that, in my opinion. There's a certain genre that it's expected, mm-hmm. but in the mainstream cinema, we do not need it. We don't.
Okay. Are people that leave journalism idealistically failures?
Oh. Wow. That's a harsh thing to ask me on a Saturday.
You and I have
afternoon.
Both left journalism at different times.
Yeah. I would. Are you an idealistic failure? No.
Are you throwing away all that you valued and held dear? Because, I mean, journalism has all these lofty ideals, and mm-hmm. it sells itself on that. And I believe in a lot of them. But
I do, too.
That makes it hard because not everybody gets to keep a job in this field.
Well, and this field has gone to shit, like, actively. Mm-hmm. And the way people view journalists has changed, and the monoculture and the onslaught of just having information all the time and not knowing or caring where it comes from. Like, journalism used to be elitist, like, for better or for worse, but it used to be elitist, and now it's like, no, anyone can be a journalist, and that to me is a problem. So it's like, I don't think we're idealistic failures. I just think we're failures. We could still have the ideals.
Yeah, that would be nice.
Yeah.
Can you though? I don't know if you can go into politics. I always felt like government PR made sense as a backup because you're still putting out press releases about, you know, when the snow plows will up. You're still doing a sort of public service of getting mm-hmm. information out. And yes, you maybe have to do crisis control or damage, but it's at a certain level. But political stuff and speech writing, it is many of the same skills, but you're just trying to sell a certain narrative. In this case, that she's this very competent person. Like, they have her character built up. Not her character in the movie, but her character as a politician is trying to sell a certain narrative to the public to get them to vote for her in this election in the next year. Yeah, how do you square that circle?
Well, yeah, ultimately he is a sellout. He has to. Like, there's no way, because then the movie is setting up that this bozo is the actual president. You know what I mean? That's like guiding a career politician through running the country, and that's garbage, and I don't want to believe in that. But yeah, there's no way they weren't fighting every day about some sort of, like, if we saw Longshot 2, it would be the divorce. And it's
well,
like,
well, yeah, at the end, he's first husband, which is funny, mm-hmm. but he also, like, talks about how, you know, he can do much more in his role as first gentleman
Mister?
Than he could
yeah.
as a journalist. And
right.
It's like, well, could you? I don't know.
Like, I don't know. Michelle Obama did a lot.
Yeah, I mean, I just feel like he would have still gone, he would have freelanced some stuff. Can the wife of the president freelance? Is that allowed?
I doubt it.
I'm sure they can.
They don't need to. I think they get a salary.
Yeah, they don't need to. But I'm
he
sure
would.
Be,
he would write. He would write a memoir. Or something.
Harper's
I don't
or
know.
Something.
But yeah, I do think yes, Fred Flarsky is an ideological failure. He definitely is. Just because he didn't sell out to a media conglomerate, he did sell out to the United States government. Which, I'm sorry, I don't care if there's a Democrat in office. Like, it's not good. It's not a good thing. The United States government. So yeah.
And he comes on so strong in the beginning with all that mm-hmm. I guess that's why it bugged me, and maybe as the journalist, that, like, where does that kind of go? It's not like he just gets laid off and, you know, they could have just had it, but he quits because of his values are so staunchly opposed to any of this, and he does kind of question taking the speechwriter job, and there is a scene of him throwing his laptop away rather than change the speech because the environmental policy they're gonna help change the world gets, you know, kneecapped or whatever, but then it just becomes about the romance, and that's
here's what I think. So that vigor at the beginning mm-hmm. is Alt Weekly shit. We've both had it.
Yep.
Then life beats it out of you.
Yeah.
But in Fred's case, a much better life was handed to him, where like there's that whole sequence of the movie when they're falling in love technically, but they're just running around the world. And so he's got his whole life taken care of. He
Which
can
is
dress how he wants.
Different cities in Canada.
Like, all
Montreal
around.
Montreal for France, Toronto for New York.
Around the world, eating whatever, flying on Air Force 2, like, government clearances. Like, I'm sorry. I think you would totally, like, there could be a whole other movie about Fred getting caught up in his fancy life.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason he goes with it is because he's like in love with her. If she wasn't there, if Bob Odenkirk if the rules were flipped, if Bob Odenkirk was Charlotte Field, it would like he wouldn't have he'd be like, you're a fucking fraud and I'm gonna expose you and that'll be the movie. But it's Charlize, who amongst us would not give it all up.
So are we only idealists in journalism
when love's off the table?
Well, while it's like why we're hungry and working shitty jobs and that all goes away as
honestly,
soon as we can find a better life.
Not to be a cynic, but I think so.
Oh no.
I do. It's like when life is easier, why would you choose the harder thing?
Cuz it's what's right.
It is what's right. But the unfortunate thing is you don't get the easier thing when you're 25. You get the easier thing when you're 45 and you're like, I'm tired. And I never made a fucking dollar. And now I make, and I'm not speaking from experience because I'm not 45 and I'm not making a fucking dollar. Someday I might. And I'm going to be like, thank you, life, for being easy now. And I'm not going to go pick fights on the internet that make it harder. But right now, sure.
I could have, again, take out the blackmail subplot and just ramp up Alexander Skarsgård as Justin Trudeau.
Also, the blackmail
disastrous triangle.
The blackmail subplot was very half-assed. You could tell they didn't even really believe in it.
It just felt like an out of nowhere third act conflict to create some. When we could have, I mean, the Trudeau stuff was set up so much. He's not playing Trudeau himself, but he's essentially the handsome Canadian prime minister.
Yeah, with like fake teeth.
Yeah, and everyone, the public and the press, everyone wants her to be with them because that makes sense as a glamorous pairing. We didn't need Bob Odenkirk's in bed
nefarious.
With the corporate media. We hacked the laptop, all that shit.
No, anyway. We did not. That felt like a studio note, now that you say it like that.
Yeah.
Who knows? Anyway. Like, too much romance. Like, you know how I talk about this a lot, how Judd Apatow put the poop scene in Bridesmaids because the women were talking too much? That's what it's like. There's too much love shit. We need her to be actively threatened.
It felt like the reverse equivalent of when, you know, an otherwise just fine, funny comedy needs to have a romance plot in it. You know, there's a breakup or some heartfelt scene in the third act. When we were doing just fine at 110 minutes of laughs, we didn't need to slow this down. We could have just kept going.
I will agree with you. It did not need to be over 2 hours, even with the dance scene. You leave that alone.
It flies by, though. So
it does. It's really fun. Yeah.
So I couldn't find this anywhere in the trivia, but was this inspired by Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez's weird schlub of a boyfriend? Did somebody look at him and say, that's Seth Rogen?
He's
Let's
not
do
a schlub.
A movie.
He's just like, he's just tall and skinny.
He's not, but that was the original.
He's just a Brooklyn hipster.
Discourse about him, that he, how is someone so beautiful, this rising star in politics, dating some weird dude with a curly beard?
It's like Christina Hendricks is now ex-husband. People were mad about that, too. I don't know. Yeah. I think
people get mad when... You get mad when beautiful women date.
I do.
Men.
You're not wrong. I feel like the schlub story... Honestly, it felt more inspired by Hillary Clinton to me. Like, Secretary of State. I don't know. Going for president. But what if the rest of the Clinton shit wasn't there? I don't know.
It's taking a few things. Like, there's... You know, Odenkirk's a version of Trump, a much more harmless version who comes, you know, he apparently was a star of some like action-y TV show. Where
and
he
wanted
president.
To transition into films after the presidency. I did love the part where it's like Jennifer Aniston. He's like, is she a movie star though?
He was very good. He was sort of playing it more like George W. Bush as just like a clueless idiot rather than like an egotist.
Like we're a bit so like Paul Rudd doing Bobby Newport.
There's some baffling CGI that shows up for some reason because they couldn't get an actual helicopter, maybe. Or even when they were doing that dance and it zooms out through the kitchen doors.
Through the portal there.
And so they're like green screened in. Mm-hmm. But it's very obvious.
Mm.
There's no Disney budget on that, I guess.
Even the like beach.
Yeah.
I was like, this is Malibu or something. Like, this isn't Hanoi.
That was Where the beach is? I'm trying to think of what's a sandy beach location in Canada
that they could have easily filmed. Honestly, it felt like, yeah, the night one felt green screened in. Yeah. And the one where he goes out and her bodyguard's there and he's like, don't tell anyone. That felt like wherever Seth Rogen's house is in L.A., he just shot at his own beach.
I mean, I think they did film in Colombia. They filmed somewhere else, but a lot of it was Canada standing in for the world.
That's funny. As it does.
What did you think of the fun twist of his secret Republican friend? And how he just needed to learn to get along with folks.
I love that. He's played by O'Shea Jackson, who's very funny. You probably know this in your trivia, but I'm going to steal it from you, which is Ice Cube's son, who played him in the NWA movie, which I did not like, Straight Outta Compton. He's super funny, and he's really rich. He's a good boss. Like, his friend has a bad day. He's like, clear my schedule. Actually, all of you, you're doing great work. You have the day off. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I love that he's like, I'm guided by the GOP and the GOD. I thought it was really funny.
Okay.
And his friend is also like, you're really fucking judgmental. And that's half your problem. So that is true.
I mean, sure, but not to be the guy who just stands up for journalism here, but he's right about a lot of this stuff. Like, I don't know. Like, this was what, 2019?
Mm-hmm.
So it was being... Actually, it was written much, much earlier. We can get into that. But it was being filmed a little earlier. But I don't think you would make the case now that we need to just hang out and get along with more of our Republican friends.
Right, but like...
actively crazy and in a
cult. Yeah, but here's the thing. Like, half of America is Republican. And I think about this a lot because in Canada, it's not like, oh, that person, he's voted for the PCs his whole life. He's a conservative. I fucking hate him. Like, we don't do that here.
Mm-hmm.
Or I don't anyway. Not that I'm better than anyone, but it's just like, I just feel like Americans really draw the line between themselves as people, like, like politically. And I do think that is like a hard line now that people take where it's like, well, you can't be a Republican in the Trump years because... it stands for hatred and it stands for rolling back human rights and all of these awful things that they've been doing. But at a certain point, it was just like, it's just a difference of opinion and a difference of, you know, who comes out better. So I do think it's like, I do think people have, they are ideologically opposed. So like Seth Rogen's our people. And his BFF Republican Christian friend is not. So, of course, we're going to be on Seth Rogen's side. But I don't know. I agree with him when he was just like, you're really judgmental and you don't see things from other people's sides. Because there are I understand why people are conservative.
Mm-hmm.
Even if it's like, you can't actively, like, being anti-vaxxer and hating gay people and dead naming trans people, like all that kind of shit, that's extremist. But I do think there's a middle ground of just like normies who just like believe stuff. It's like, it's fine.
Do you think it was weird that it didn't lead to this out of work reporter publishing a story about how the president of the United States and the head of this global media company hacked into his laptop
and cahoots?
Tried to blackmail him? Feels like that would have been a good scoop to...
Mm-hmm.
Even though he's in it, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, we definitely didn't care about journalism at that point in the movie.
Like, that's not even a discussion. It's not, you know, he's like, you know, don't worry about this, you know, do your thing. It's not like, I'm going to write about this and expose them. And she's like, please don't, you know, my career.
That had to have been a subplot. They had to have had that conversation where it's like, he's embedded technically.
Yeah.
There must be something that
I guess he signs an NDA, but
he does.
Still, for someone who's so idealistic at the beginning, it drops away.
Also, for him to sign an NDA and he didn't even read it at the peak of his idealism, I don't know.
I guess we do a lot of things when we're in love with Charlize Theron.
I do love when they pick him up outside of the store they've been out all night, and he's like, why did I wear these stupid fucking cargo pants? They're too tapered. just like a funny thing to say. They're too tapered. And you didn't mention, I have to mention it because I have to mention her whenever she shows up. That scene where they decide that, you know, her wave is bad, and it's super funny how bad it is. Lisa Kudrow drops in for that one.
Very small role. Yeah.
Yep. She did that Neighbors too, and she's like outstanding. Yeah. Best friend by a million miles. In the same movie where they disparage Jennifer Aniston.
Very funny. Why don't we take a break and come back with some trivia?
Sounds good.
Hi.
Hey.
I hear you have a crush on me.
I do.
Kind of a crush on you too.
Well, that's cool. Hey, I know I asked earlier, but do you want to dance with me? It's a dope song.
Really fucking good song.
Maybe the best song ever written.
Yeah.
Thought it's over now. Lay your whisper
on my pillow. Leave the winter
on the ground.
Awake and lonely. The stare of silence
in the bedroom. All around.
Touch me now. I close my eyes.
I'm dreaming away.
It must have been love. But it's over now. It must have been good. But I lost it somehow. It must have been love. But it's over now. From the moment we.
And you're back with Box Office Bylines, a sure bet, not a long shot. Jacob.
That can be the sequel title.
That's right.
Sure thing.
Is there much trivia about this very
There's
recent
There's a few
movie?
Things. Okay. As I mentioned, the script actually goes back a bit. So Sterling, who previously worked on The Daily Show, the Sarah Silverman program, he initially wrote the earliest version of this as a way of working out his own feelings about not being where he wanted to be in life. And it doesn't say it in the trivia, but I have to feel like maybe early drafts of this were about a screenwriter, not a journalist. I could see that, maybe. Anyway, after it had kind of sat around for a while and was... So this was originally written in the, like, 2010... So when it finally got into production, because Rogan had wanted to work with Charlize Theron for a long time, and eventually their careers were at the same point where they could, because her production company produced this. So eventually it goes into production, and that's when they bring in Liz Hanna, whose first Hollywood job actually was with Theron's production company, and she had just written The Post, and so they wanted her to polish up all the political journalism stuff.
From the lady side.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, she actually came onto the movie summer 2017, barely 36 hours after wrapping production on The Post.
What a life. Liz Hanna, we bow down.
So I do wonder what early drafts of the screenplay were like, how much changed in the journalism side and the arc, and when the cum on his face stuff gets added.
I think that was probably always that was. There, don't you think?
I can't imagine that was pre-Seth Rogen.
I also, can I just say, like, oh, I'm a 30-year-old white man. What do I do with my life? Like, okay, Rory Gilmore from last week. However, what, like, honestly, just the fact that it got to a stage that Charlize Theron and read it and was like, yes, but with some tweaks. It's like, what the fuck?
I like this one. After Andy Serkis accepted the role of Parker Wembley, who's the Rupert Murdoch-type media mogul, Serkis then developed an extensive prosthetic makeup design for the character, a makeup regimen that required hours a day to execute, even though no one asked him to do that.
He must have like PTSD from Gollum.
Something. Like, Rogan,
and he's not in the movie very much. His scenes are not long.
2.5 scenes, and he was unrecognizable at first. I was like, "Who is this guy?" Rogan remembered we offered him the role, and then he was like, "Okay." And then he started sending me ideas for what he would look like, and we were like, "What do you mean?" I thought he kind of looked a lot like Andy Serkis, but he was like, "No, I got this whole thing," and we were like, "Whatever, man." That's a very Seth Rogen quote. That's difficult to make sense of when you're reading it. Yeah, go Andy Serkis. Have fun with your prosthetics.
Yeah, I am. I actually, when I saw his name, I went, "Who?" And then I'm like, "Right, the guy with the face and the weird hair." What a weird thing to do.
In Marvel movies.
Yes. What an annoying thing to do. To be like, you have 3 scenes, and him to inundate Seth Rogen, who did not direct the movie.
I think more, I feel, for the makeup people. Mm. Unless he brought in his own team and paid for them. I guess. Somebody along the way has to approve.
It's so funny, though, because like historically you just hear how actors hate those long makeup sessions. I just don't know why you would choose it.
Maybe he has some weird thing.
Maybe he was in love with the makeup person.
Oh. You mentioned how they play the song from the Pretty Woman soundtrack, but you're wrong, Tara.
They play the original.
They play the Christmas version, not the original
version. That is the original version. So, okay.
Oh, okay.
I actually know about
that. Tell that to IMDb.
So I might go fix it. I once did a syndicated hit on a network that I'm no longer with. About Christmas music, about cool Christmas music.
Was it Fox News?
It was Fox News. And I learned in the research of that it must have been Love. So it says Cold Christmas Day. The version that you know is Cold Winter's Day. The royal you, not you specifically.
Shrugging. Yeah.
The full title of that song, this is Pretty Woman. This is like Roxette original UK release. Mm. It must have been Love, / Christmas for the Brokenhearted. So that's how I was closing the syndicated hit.
You close the bracket. They leave that open.
I would say, did you know this is a Christmas song? So it's funny because when I rewatched it, I was like, oh, they used the Christmas version. But yeah, then they play it from the Pretty Woman soundtrack, which probably says Winter's Day.
Hmm.
So IMDb's a little bit right.
What is the difference between the two?
Oh, just literally, it's one word. She goes, it's a cold Christmas day, a dream away. But in the single version, it says, it's a cold winter's day. It's just winter over Christmas.
Right. Non-denominational, that
correct.
Way. Okay. All right.
Great. And again, that's my favorite scene in the movie. And I can't believe they let it go so long. It's so lovely.
Paul Scheer is in this movie playing a newscaster on like a sort of Fox and Friends show. He makes a comment about not wanting his wife to be president. And of course, he's married in real life to June Diane Raphael, also in the film. Charlotte claims to have ridden on an elevator alone with Saddam Hussein. That could not possibly have happened after 2003. And she would have... The more likely would have happened under the last Democratic administration, Clinton, during Saddam's lifetime, before 2001, when Charlotte would have been barely out of college. So, doesn't make any sense. Hope someone got fired for that one. Along with this, referring to Game of Thrones, Charlotte says, in quoting like the press talking points that she's given because she doesn't have time to actually watch it, "I couldn't believe Khaleesi's dragon came back as a White Walker." Actually, the dragon was reanimated by a White Walker as a white sort of ice zombie, not a White Walker, which is like an ice vampire.
Which is weird. Like, I don't care, but it's weird because later they show her watching it.
Yeah, he wants to like help her see the show because it's so good. Sure. That also ages it. People talking about Game of Thrones watching. Yeah. It was a nice film. I enjoyed it. Definitely worth watching. I wish it had been a little more heartburn.
A little less cum stain.
Yeah, a little more adult. 2 people, arguing through a relationship. I don't know. It would have. I would have enjoyed watching that. You know, I think people have talked about this as like a mid-level adult comedy and mm-hmm. how that doesn't exist anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And it would have been, those movies are very good, and I would have liked to have seen that. And the cum stuff and the blackmail plot. Maybe
I mean,
wasn't
that's
needed.
The problem with a movie like this is that Charlize Theron's key audience is older and Seth's is younger. And I think they thought, oh, everyone will go see it. Both yeah. of those sides. When actually both sides were just confused and they're like, why yeah. would I do this? And I think it just, yeah. And then the marketing didn't help it. So, yeah. So, you know.
It's one of those things where it feels like studio involvement ruined what mm-hmm. could have been like a perfect film.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway. But yeah. still not bad.
No, it's wonderful. I love it. Everyone should go see it. Find it.
Go rent it. Find it on video. On
VOD.
Demand. Don't go see it unless
yeah,
you're vaccinated.
You can't go see it.
Maybe we all are by now when this comes out.
Yeah, true.
Yeah, that's all. Any final all right. thoughts?
No, I love it. I think, I didn't, you know, when I saw it the first time, I didn't think about the journalism too much. Mm-hmm. and it informed his character. Like a lot of the movies we watch, journalism is just sort of the occupation of the person, and it has nothing to do with them as a person, but it really informed who he was, even if we didn't see him do too much of it. It was what he was rooted in, and I didn't notice that the first time, so it was nice to look at it with these eyes and not have it ruin a movie for me for once. and you know, and again, Charlize, you know, I've talked about this before. I love warm actors. Mm-hmm. I would not call her that, but she is in this. She's just people should let her be funny more often.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she definitely rises to the part, and they give her a lot to do. Mm-hmm. She's not just unfunny girlfriend role.
Yeah.
So, yeah. All right. Well, till next time, people can find you on Twitter at ThornyHFX.
Correct.
They can follow go ahead, please.
And they can follow you at RWJ Boone. Were you going to pitch the show Twitter? Do we still have that?
I was. Box Bylines. It's out there. Follow along. That's where I fave and retweet a bunch of anytime someone mentions journalism and movie in the same tweets.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Yeah, next week, I don't know what we're going to do. We'll figure that out. But till then, may your devils wear Prada, your views be parallax, and your jewels always be Richard.
Thank you, Jacob. Bye-bye.